Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Greetings, nerds. This is Cena Nerd. I'm your host, Sarah Belmont, and with me, as always, is our Mr. Producer, Will Paul. How are you doing tonight, Will?
I'm doing very, very well, Sarah. How are you doing this evening?
I survived, and I'm looking forward to my 4th of July break.
You have been really burning it so at both ends, so I am very happy for you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As far as I know, you're going on break, and let's see, we've got a couple things popping this week. We've got, of course, Spider-Man coming out to look at something, things to look forward to. And speaking of Spider-Man, one of his castmates from Avengers Endgame, Paul Rudd, looks like he's going to be in the new Ghostbusters project.
See, a Ghostbusters project, like, who cares at this point?
Well, at least this time all the fanboys won't get bent like they did with the last one.
I don't think that's a good thing, in all honesty. I mean, like, the fanboys got bent out of shape because it was all female casting.
Yeah. And I know Ivan Reitman's son is behind this project, and I know he's stepped in it a couple times too whenever he's called it the original Ghostbusters, or the, you know, true Ghostbusters, or that kind of thing. And, you know, had to obviously backtrack and say how they respected the other project and those kind of things. But Paul Rudd, I guess, was cast and, or is in negotiations to be in it. And I guess announced it on their Twitter page today. I guess he was walking past the iconic fire station where the Ghostbusters are headquartered.
I mean, all I'm saying is that I just don't think that Ghostbusters, it's not nostalgic for me at all. I'll be perfectly honest. It's not one of the movies from the 80s where I'm like, oh yeah, remember that and everything. So for me, I personally could care less. Paul Rudd may bring something to the movie, but I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, and also we had the dropping of the Charlie's Angels trailer. What did you think about that?
Kristen Stewart looked like she was having fun in a movie, which, like, I don't think I've ever seen before. It looked like it was taking itself seriously, but also lighthearted. Like, mm-hmm. Like there was a good tone. The music I hated personally.
I did too. Like,
why?
Yeah.
These songs are not working. It's not a good mix.
Yeah. I felt like, am I like watching a promo for a music, MTV music video, or when it used to show videos, or are we trying to, you know, hype a movie trailer? And I completely agree with you. I thought that there was a disconnect between what I was seeing, which was a kick-ass trailer of action and adventure and a spy thriller. And I mean, all the things with it, but I found the music distracting.
Yeah. The way you said that, it made me go straight to our criticism of that Birds of Prey trailer thing spot. And so I'm like, well, it wasn't that bad, but it definitely, it was like distracting. And Naomi Scott, like, I still haven't seen Aladdin. I've heard her music and I've seen her in other things, but for some reason I was fully engaged. And the moment her character popped up, I don't know if the character she's portraying she's the right fit. There's something about her, it's like she's overacting the nerdy, oh my god, the naiveness of it all. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't fit right in my mind. Like, everybody else makes sense, but she just, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I got that vibe, and I did feel like, when I was watching it, it was, one is, I'm not clear, is this a reboot or is this a continuation?
Who the heck knows? Like, this is a problem, Will. Like, whether it's Ghostbusters, Charlie's Angels, or any of this other stuff that was a thing at one point of time. Like, even Cobra Kai to a degree. Mm-hmm. Nobody clear, like, there's been so many trials of rebooting, restarting. Creed is another one.
Yeah.
That it's kind of just like, why are we doing this again? Like, this isn't the MCU. Not everything's clearly not connected, or it is connected, but in like the most shove a round peg into a square hole kind of way.
Yeah.
I like did that opposite and. I did that entire analogy off. This is how much I'm in need of a vacation, guys. Nah. Clearly.
But point taken. And it does beg, you know, your point does get to something that you see a lot of times on social media. I'm not picking on Charlie's Angels, especially given this conversation about Ghostbusters, but you know, is this really a sequel or reboot that people are really clamoring for? And I mean, honestly, until I saw this trailer, I didn't even know that there was another Charlie's Angels movie in the works. So it caught me by surprise when I saw it was trending this morning. I was like, oh, there's another one.
Pay attention.
I know.
I've
well, I'm usually
for like a year.
Well, you didn't say anything.
I don't really care. I mean, now that there's a trailer, and of course I knew about it. Two words for you, sir. Noah Centineo.
Okay. Fair enough.
What? He's going to be the nerdy guy. And they showed him, and that kid's career, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Didn't you also say that there was some Eternals casting news?
Well, rumors at this point, but folks are looking to maybe try to bring Salma Hayek on board. And, of course, you know, last week we talked about Keanu Reeves.
Reeves!
Yeah, and, of course, Angelina Jolie's been associated as another A-lister with this project, so... it looks like about Selma, which actually would be her first time doing a comic book movie. So,
well, I mean, Angelina Jolie, same thing. Keanu Reeves, same thing.
Yeah. But at least Angelina did do Laura Croft, so she's been tangentially related to this genre.
That is a stretch, my friend.
Hey, work with me.
Oh, man. All right. Speaking of stretching, let's head over to Krypton because this is why we're here. I've literally finished watching the episode less than an hour ago. Season 2, episode 3, Will to Power. A lot of Brainiac. A lot of Brainiac. And sir, you know, what comes to mind when I'm watching this episode is I'm thinking to myself, why the heck have we've been wasting our time with Zod in all of these Superman movies when Brainiac is a really interesting character who, for somebody like me who's been removed from the franchise and just I've seen the movies, it's not my thing. I've watched Smallville. And I like everything. I'm always in like with Superman. I'm never in love with it. Brainiac is a villain where there is some. Now, granted, as soon as I pose the question to myself, I think about a lot of the similarities this character possesses to some other villains and other franchises. Yet still, the big part of this episode where it was Seg in his mind, in Brainiac's mind, Brainiac in Seg's mind, and that whole dynamic was really interesting for me.
It was. And I really liked the way, I mean, we've had three solid episodes now on Kolu, and the continuing arc through a thread through that, whether it's Brainiac or Lobo, is they just need to center the action on that. I mean, the stuff going on back in Krypton, to your point earlier about Zod and everything, it's there, but the more interesting things are what is going on with Brainiac and Lobo and really this question of the will to power, as the title indicates, which is, does Seg have the willpower to be able to overcome Brainiac, who was extremely confident when we first saw him and Seg together on Kolu, and also how Brainiac basically manipulated and, you know, with the powers of suggestion, and like we saw making himself appear as Vile in the first episode, as far as just trying to convince Seg to even break out of the Phantom Zone.
Right.
And we've seen, you know, each time we get these iterations of them, and whenever first on Kolu in the season premiere, this contest of wills, and it really does pick up from even from the end of last season when they had their showdown on Krypton on Kandor. And I really liked that Seg, we've seen the growth of Seg as a character through Brainiac and Brainiac's manipulations, that, okay, you fooled me in the Phantom Zone. You were able to infiltrate my mind and basically use me as a vessel to elude Lobo. But now Seg stood up to him and basically, through all the visions that Brainiac had while they're in the, in Brainiac's, I guess, birthing nest and in his mind, was able to overcome that.
Yeah. Something that they did that was really, now that I'm thinking about it, and they just touched on it, and I kind of hope that they go back and explore it more. Lord only knows if we're able to do that. But Seg turns it around at one point because he argues back at Brainiac that he's not a god. Now, we've seen this trope come up before, but it's always implied that the hero views themselves as a god and that they abuse their power. With Brainiac, initially, I would have never thought that, but you can see how he does have that perspective, and for him, it's all about knowledge. Yet, I think with Seg, the way they phrase the question at the start of the episode is, what are you hiding? Mm-hmm. What aren't you letting me see? And the thing, put emotion aside and humanity aside, the thing that Seg has, I think, at the end of the day, is fate.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, this show is starting to exhaust this whole time travel issue. Yet at the same time, the moment where Brainiac looks at him and is like, "You intrigue me, son of Krypton." Chills.
Yeah.
Like, and that right there, this guy has something very important too. He has to have sex.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish it. But literally, he was put on this planet for one time, 5 minutes or less.
Yeah. Yep.
He's got to get in and then get out.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my God. Now that I figured this out, boy, the jokes that I'm gonna come up with. And but I mean, at the end of the day, we know that it all leads to one night.
It leads to one night. Yeah. Yeah. Your goal, yeah, to one night.
And that's something that no matter the knowledge, because with knowledge, all you have is history and maybe the present day, but you never have the future. And that's really what Seg has on his side.
He does have a super future on his side, but also, I mean, he does have destiny and it does relate back to sex. And speaking of which, I mean, Brainiac tried to manipulate Seg through his feelings with Lyta and trying to, basically break him and use him and possibly because he knows of the destiny that awaits the House of El, try to keep the current timeline as it is, which if all things go as they are currently destined, Krypton will be a planet that is put in the bottle and doesn't blow up.
Mhm. Mhm. See, I don't know what timeline we are on anymore. I get so confused these days because anytime they go to a scene with Zod and Lyta, I'm still creeped out.
I'm not creeped out anymore. It's the power imbalance, and I guess it's part of it is just the physical. His imposing nature over Lyta, I think, is the thing that gets me.
Yeah, that could be it. It just, I mean, on that note, the way that she was basically groveling for power and to be allowed to go someplace else, I'm kind of like, you're the mom.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he is like all in charge and you're the second. Shouldn't it be reversed? However, I did appreciate that they acknowledged that part of the awkwardness between these two is that he comes from a place where he knows a different version of her. And I think that's really interesting because, I mean, people grow up, people change, and events have to happen.
Right.
At the same time, I'm just thinking to myself, dude, you're never going to get born unless Seg comes back. Like, does he think that she's already pregnant or something?
I think that must be the case here, is that she is already pregnant with him. Because that's the only, otherwise, with Seg being gone, yeah, I mean, it's the whole predestination, pre-existence paradox. He'll Marty McFly himself. And so I think he knows, I think that when Seg and Lyta that did reunite, late last season, when they were in the catacombs or whatever, I think that's when he was conceived.
Well, how long has it been? Cause I could have sworn it's been 6 months.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true.
That girl does not put on weight then.
No, she's not showing at all. unless he was born into the birthing chamber. I guess so Seg has to come back. And now he is back. So maybe they do hook up now so that he can be conceived.
Man, my mind is going to, I have it now. Well, it's all about can you feel the love tonight?
Yeah, it is.
It's in the air.
It's in the air.
Oh my God. It's just, there's something about this that just blows my mind. But I mean, I like this episode a lot better than last week, even though I have to say, like, season 2 so far of this show is really good. I really like that we're no longer on Kalu, and that arc has wrapped up.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the last we're going to see of either Brainiac or Lobo.
Oh, definitely.
But it's, if we had continued in another episode, I think it would have been stretched too long.
Yeah.
Because it is very important, Sagan Adam, to keep us engaged with what's going on to Krypton, we need those two characters because I think besides Brainiac and besides Lobo, that whole arc really worked well because every now and then we get some of the best banter I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Adam and Seg, what do you mean, birth? What do you mean, I mean birth? And like, all of this stuff. Was I dead? Maybe, just a little bit, but I undeaded you. And I really need you to stop talking about how you died.
He said it twice. I laughed out loud at that moment whenever he said that. I truly did. And whenever Lobo and Adam had their moments, and you're so soft, and
he's so soft, and then he's like, oh yeah, that whole thing was really, and this brings up what I also wanted to talk about with this arc. We always talk about how a lot of these bigger movies or shows, you have so many different villains, you have so many different plot lines going on, and yet on Kalu, it's one plot line, two villains, two protagonists, a lot of different agendas. Yet the fact that Lobo, he's after Seg and Adam, but he's really after Brainiac, so the enemy of my enemy. At the same time, though, Lobo has no loyalty to Seg and Adam. So it's not like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's more like, if I have to go through you to get to him, I will.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a cat and mouse game. And I like how they brought up that subconscious level where there's another battle going on between Brainiac and Seg.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. I mean, we talked about how long they was remaining on that. And I think our consensus was that it would be the third episode when they would get back to the Krypton. So I agree with you 100%. They ended that arc at the appropriate time. The subconscious fight that Seg and Brainiac was having, was really, I think it was really, really important, because I think it again, to get to my earlier point, it shows the growth of Seg. But also, I think Cameron Cuff actually like tweeted out something there where Seg basically is also a con man. And so that was fully on display there, where he basically head faked, Brainiac and was able to defeat him that way. Because again, Brainiac is always, as you said, he's always thinking logically and very, and without the emotional element. Which they did discuss in the episode. And so because of that X factor, that is the one way that, even though Brainiac tried to manipulate him and try to use the emotional connection that Seg has with Lyta to his advantage, it was a linear thing. It wasn't the passion and the eros that would allow for, to have that love affair between the two characters of Seg and Lyta. And so that was how Seg was able to defeat Brainy and get him out of his head.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I mean, Brainiac now is just a heartbroken boy, because clearly throughout his time inside of Seg, he developed feelings.
He did.
An attraction. Mm-hmm. To the will and to the power. And it reminds me a lot of what happens in Infinity War between Thanos and whether it's Steve Rogers or even, Iron Man. Like, there's a respect in the people when you think you're above everything else on the planet, and then all of a sudden you encounter something that rivals your power. There's a mutual attraction. And unfortunately, Brainiac was not put in the story to have sex with Seg.
Nope. There may be some affection there, but Brainiac is just going to be left high and dry.
I mean, to his credit, he did get inside.
He did get inside, but not as, yeah. There was some intimacy in other ways, but not physical.
See, the DCU has no idea the comedic gold mine they're just sitting on this character. Oh man, what else happened? Then, what is going on with Jaina and Dev?
I saw your note in the notes about that, and that, I mean, Dev is just, well, he's a broken man, and that meltdown moment wasn't, when I first saw it, I was like, did they? And then I was like, no, it's more. He was just broken, and really at his core, the Sacerdotari were not after Jaina. They were actually after him. And so her coming back to Kandor basically, or the Outlands, basically gave him the opportunity to take care of those Sacerdotari. But in doing so, in their exposition that they were having there, he realizes the world that they once knew is completely gone, and I think he's broken from that. And so, whereas Jaina also sees that world gone, she is now, very just in, going back to what you've always said, the duty and the strength and that kind of thing. She responds in a very strong, pull up bootstraps, I'm going to deal with this kind of thing. Whereas Dev is just an emotional mess, and he breaks down. And so when he had that meltdown, this cradles with her in the bed, it was just that. I mean, he was just a broken, beat down dude, and he was just curling up like a little baby.
Maybe it's because I forgot who he was. Maybe it's because I really wanted to see this Sagittari rogue arc for Jaina that I'm kind of like, really, we get 5 minutes of her, and half the time she's with her daughter's ex-fiance in a bed and cradling him. And I guess what I'm missing is a reminder about why he is so disturbed. And initially I thought his eyes were gonna go pitch black again when they were in that bed, because it was right after Seg apparently kills, or Lobo kills, a Brainiac. And so I thought there was a disturbance in that force. And so it just was weird for me. And the way she looks at him, I'm like, that's not. Granted, clearly I've just been misreading everything this whole episode, so.
No, you're not misreading. Well, yeah, you did that one. Yeah, I thought I didn't. I did. Like I said, for a moment, I had that as well. But then I was like, no, that's no. It's not that. It's this is totally different vibe and different feeling that she has for him. And I'm trying to remember back to season one. And I'll have to just, maybe have to just do some cheat sheet cheat. What was his arc that caused him to go to the Outlands? And I don't know if it was because he was. So if
Well,
listeners.
if I remember correctly, I feel like at one point he got his arm cut off.
He
He
did.
got possessed by Brainiac, and I also think he realized what Brainiac also realized. Seg is not for them, and Lyta is not for him. And he's not been put in the story to have sex with Lyta.
He's not,
Yeah. Yeah, so what did we learn today, people? Krypton is about one thing,
It's about
sex.
sex.
I don't. The Crap Town boys do deliver.
They do deliver. They do.
Oh man. I still think pretty much everything going on with Nyssa and Vess, all Battlestar Galactica. Too much like Battlestar Galactica for me. And it's like the worst part of Battlestar Galactica, not the interesting part. I still think he's a Cylon. Okay. Will, I don't know if you watched this episode any differently now that I've concocted this Cylon theory, but he's standing there directing orders, talking about supplies, and I'm just like, this guy was a scientist. He was a person who looked to the stars. Where did all of this kind of Sagittari strategery come into play? But then he fumbled a bit. I'm just like, dude, I thought you were smart. Nyssa clearly, like, there's mastermind manipulation happening here. And he's like, oh, well, you know, some people lived. And that other girl is looking at him like, yeah, but don't you think they want us to think that this is for our own good?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where, yeah, I don't know if his time in the Phantom Zone has, like, caused him to lose his edge or what, but I had that same thought as well, that he has definitely lost something, a little zip on his fastball, because the Vile that we encountered last season would not have been so easily duped, and would have been more critical by seeing how easy things went with that with their mission.
Yeah, it's just the signs are all here. I'm very adamant that there is going to be some sort of reveal that he is working with Zod, or that he has his own plan, his own political agenda. Because this is what is currently missing from the show this season, and I don't know, Will, if you've noticed it. There is something always very Shakespearean about the better storylines of in this genre.
Yeah.
There is nothing currently Shakespearean about what's currently happening.
There
hasn't been a betrayal yet. The Nyssa thing does not count.
No. Well, no. The Nyssa thing.
She's a clone.
Well, she's a clone, one. And two, she, yeah, I mean, this is the deal that she made to save Korvac, so.
But more importantly, not human.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You're punchy today.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just that I, and the whole Lyta thing, you can argue it because we still got the Romeo and Juliet thing.
That's going to be the betrayal. There's your betrayal, because in order for, well, no, yeah, in order for Seg, for Zod to basically lose and go back to the future wherever he belongs, she's going to betray him.
And yet she still has sex with Seg, even though we know that leads just to Drew all over again.
Yeah, yeah, but the new Drew won't, but in this new timeline, the restored timeline, Drew Zod does not come back.
You know, I don't trust the Craptown boys, okay? Therefore, and Vess is one of them. Vess is a Krypton, therefore he's a Craptown boy. I don't know. Stop. You're right. You bring up a good point. It probably is this whole Drew and Lyta thing. That is going to come to a breaking point, and it ultimately does have to be her who sends him back and then brings him back. And then, oh, talk about paradoxes. Yeah.
But getting back to Vile, the reason why I don't think Vile will, I mean, he may have some other political mission that as far as his end game, but I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be where he betrays Seg. I mean, it may be, you know, he may end up losing, you know, the maybe the resistance may crumble or something like that, which maybe leads to, like, Lyta basically realizing that this new world that her son's building isn't what she wants, and that's where the betrayal will come, and she has to send him back or whatever.
Well, I just think that he ends up back in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right, well, that is it for us tonight on Craptown. Will, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
You can find me at Will M. Polk. That's WILLMPOLK.
And you can find me at SJ Belmont, SJBELMONT. Please follow our crew on Twitter at Scene and Nerd. Friend us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but most importantly, rate, subscribe, and comment on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Spotify. Good night, geek out. You're welcome.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.